the apostle heard. Trying to change my page, my notes, and it's not working. And that's the point, is that purpose, when we get there, we're predestined, but we're also purposed to end something, accomplish something. I don't know about you, but we throw this phrase around pretty flippantly. But I want to hear it out of my master's mouth when I go home. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what I want to hear. And as long as I'm on this earth, I say, God, let me fulfill why I'm here. Because I don't ever want the words to be tainted or weak when I go before my master. I want to hear with volume and boldness and with compassion and with love, well done, my good and faithful servant. Don't we all want to hear that? Every person will require a vision, which is a goal. Everyone. Please hear me. Because we have a lot of people out there wandering around because they have no place to go. They have no vision. They have no goal. I sat down. I don't think that he would mind if I say this. The pastor, Pastor Mark, pastors our church. He's been doing it for 11 years now, Mac. He first sat down in my office when he came to our church. And I said to him, where are you going? Well, I'm just going to work. And I said, what are you doing? What's your reason for doing it? Well, I just got to pay my bills. I said, well, that's what you'll be doing the rest of your life. Are you working to pay bills? Wow, what a fulfilling life. Because I don't know about you, when I pay one bill, always another one comes. So I said to this young man, what's your 1-year plan and 5-year plan? I don't know what the 1-year plan, 5-year plan. When, I don't know what it is. I said, well, when I ask you that 5 years from now, you'll be giving me the same answer. You're living day by day, going nowhere. Thank God he heard me. He went home and he prayed. And he figured out 1 year of what he thought that God wanted him to be. And then he said, okay, give me a little bit more than that. Give me future vision, Lord. And God gave it to him. He came back into my office. I'll never forget this day. And he sat down and looked at me with these eyes like big. He says, let's do it, Pastor. That's what he said to me. He was my Timothy. I gave him our church 11 years ago. Because he found out who he was, his purpose, and now he's walking out the vision. Isn't that awesome? So what is vision? Vision is simply a roadmap or directions to accomplish God's purpose. That's what vision is. That's what the Bible says, where there's no vision, there is no restraint. There's no discipline. You're not going to make yourself do anything. Okay? And we do live in a culture where they tell you don't have to make yourself do anything. You can just do nothing for the rest of your life. You believe me, that sounds really cynical. It is out there. Don't worry about it. The government will take care of you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God's about ready to dry that thing up. And it doesn't take much. If you don't think things can change, and we got to get a hold of our purpose, please hear me. That the world in 3 months was shut down. 3 months. The whole world was shut down. If that doesn't wake someone up, then we better be serving the God and not let the little God start to destroy and clean our lives. The other thing I heard all the time was that, oh, this government will never shut the church down. It did. Why? How could they do that? Because the church has lost its vision. And it's lost its sense of purpose. No government will shut us down. No government. No man-made thing will shut us down. Because they close this building, we'll go outside and meet. We will become the most organic organ, organic movement that nobody could ever put out. Oh, wow, Pastor, that's what's happened. That's where the revival's coming, is that through the last several years, there's an organicness of Holy Ghost starting to filtrate people's lives, and the power of God is starting to fill people's lives. And I want to tell you something. It's among a lot of the young people, and they're not looking like us or know that they care what our church looks like. They want Jesus, and they're activated for Jesus. Are you with me? But what the church has got to regain its purpose is we've got to corral all that. Because there's a section of scripture that they haven't grasped, and that is forsake not the assembly. We're all free now. We were like that in the charismatic movement. We're all free now. But now, by the power of God and the authority of God, he's going to start bringing them in to bring a cohesive body together. Not driven by church rules and regulations, even though they're needed. Not driven by church structure, even though that's needed. God's going to bring them in. I can see the right. How many of you know how powerful the right hand of God is? Reaching in the community. He's starting to bring all these young people that are on fire for Jesus. And doesn't want your religion. They want Christ. And he's starting to bring them in. Bring them in. And the question is there a body that knows God's purpose and vision enough that will embrace what God wants to send them to build his church? Oh, they're not going to fit your image. They might even wear a baseball hat in church. They're not going to look like you. So guys, been around a church for a while, if they don't fit your mold, leave them alone. I'm not saying don't discipline people. We're part of a church fellowship. I'm just kind of sharing things. Is that all right? We had a church fellowship that we belong to in Virginia called Oakley Christian Retreats. And that church has had a huge mansion. And it had 16 young adults living there. And the 16 young adults, most of the time, were hung up on drugs when they got here. And they lived at church. Our church fellowship was 400 people. It was in a ballroom. It was a ballroom. It was gorgeous. But the rule was, when one of these young guys or gals come to the church, do not tell them what they have to be. Love on them, or encourage them, guide them, bring the word to them with compassion, not with yeesh. We got to stop that. And they loved them. And all of a sudden, the one who changed lives did it permanently. Now, we had one guy I'll go on with after this. He had long red hair. I'll never forget this. He was scrubby. He was dirty. He had a long beard. He was rough. The language coming out of his mouth was garbage. And 6 months later, that man walked into the sanctuary and we did not even recognize him. Every once in a while, the hair got shorter. You know, when you're with someone long, you don't notice things. And then pretty soon, the beard got shorter. And pretty soon, he acted different. And before you knew it, he was a committed, spirit-filled, on fire for a Christian. And he cleaned himself up by the help of Holy Ghost. But when he cleaned himself up by the help of Holy Ghost, the cleansing was from the inside out, and it was perfect. I only give you that story because we're going to have to remember that when God sends the mess to us. You didn't hear that. When God sends the mess to us. Revival's messy. How many want revival? Okay, it's messy. It'll cost you something. So a vision is the image or a picture which one endeavors to fulfill, to become like, or duplicate. Amen? Do y'all need to stand up, or are you okay? Okay. All right. Vision is a picture which one endeavors to fulfill. It's a photograph. It's a picture. It becomes like a duplicate. It is a goal. So what is the vision of God for us? He wants us to look like who? He wants us to be like. So that's why, I don't know about you, church, but my Bible says that I change from glory to glory into what? The image or the picture. I'm here to be reproduced. I'm here for my negative to be turned into a snapshot looking like Jesus. We had an evangelist named Arthur Burton. I used to be a part of our church a long time ago, many moons ago. He sat at the feet of Smith Wigglesworth. Seriously. His name was Arthur Burton. And I remember one service, he said, "Brethren," from England, he said, "Brethren, never, never, never throw out your negatives. Because when you do that, you give God nothing to develop into a picture." We spend more time trying to get rid of everything negative inside of us, and we take that out of God's hand to make a snapshot of beauty. He wants your negatives. The problem is he wants you to give them to him so he can develop them into a beautiful picture. Does that make sense? The spiritual implication is being able to see an outcome before it arrives, no matter if it comes from the past, present, or future. A vision or a dream are somewhat different. A vision is more active. A dream comes to you at night. When you get a certain vintage, you start dreaming more. We'll leave it at that. A dream is something occurring now or something that will occur in the future. A vision, on the other hand, is something that you have to make happen by the grace of God. A dream is here, and a lot of us dream. We can dream interpretations, and they're very important, etc. But when you have a vision is an activation. I don't have to do anything to dream, but I do have to do something to have a vision come past. If you have a vision, you must begin to, I don't know if I can say this word. Is that all right if I be bold? Okay. If you have a vision, you have to begin to work toward making it happen. Do you know how many churches Yeah, I did, but that's good. That's all right. We're getting there. So a vision is something that you have to work at. Amen? Now, let me go back. I do want to read this one thing because every individual has to be forward moving. It's scriptural. Every individual or corporate body must be moving forward in some degree, or they will experience spiritual apathy. Now, I took this out of my notes because it sounded negative. And the Lord said, "You put it back in the notes. Because this is what's happening. Every individual or corporate body must be moving forward, or some degree or they will experience spiritual or physical apathy. Apathy is defined as wasting away of the body or an organ or a part, as from being defective of nutrition or some nerve damage. Has anybody ever hurt yourself and your muscle starts to atrophy, starts to get weak? Pretty soon you have no strength. You got to go to PT. You got to get, you got to actively get it back. And so apathy means degeneration, decline, decreased, as from disuse. Now, what is spiritual apathy? How many of you have ever experienced church bodies who's lost its power, lost its strength, has no more strength to fight? That is something that people have allowed to happen. If you have no purpose and you have no vision, then you're not going anywhere. If you're not going anywhere, you're not working out your body and you're not becoming strong. Is that all right? I don't know about you, but I work out for, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week. I mean, literally work out. Why do I do that? Do I love it? No. Does it hurt? Yes. Does sometimes the pain longer than I would like it? Yes. Then why do I do it? Because I know my purpose. And I know if I let this thing go, now y'all are going to get mad at me now, I can tell. If I let this thing go, then I'm removing the gasoline from my car. And my car loses its purpose. If I don't work out and keep this body in shape, the aging process will take its toll. Now listen to me, I'm serious. Some people say, Pastor Al, why do you work out so much? Are you looking to become, you know, muscle bound or all this? No. I said, if you understand life, if you understand aging, if you understand growing, your body atrophies as you get older. So you must maintain muscle mass by working out so apathy does not take charge of your life. That's a problem with much of the elderly today. Their physical bodies have atrophied. Why? Because they do not actively take care of their bodies. Are you all right with me? It's no different with a church fellowship. If we actively don't work out the things of God in our church fellowship, then spiritual apathy will start to take it. And pretty soon, the church body, I know you've never seen this, will start to degenerate. People will start leaving. It'll start to decline or decrease. The usefulness of what it used to be, its former self, was never existed anymore. In fact, we don't even know what it looks like anymore. The original purpose that God created, that is gone because we've lost it. Now God's saying, no, I want to activate. Are you all right with me? Am I making sense to anybody here? I want to activate this thing. I want it to grow. Prophet said in one studies, and when one studies and understands the human anatomy, he was at Rock Church when I was very early years. He was a powerful prophet. He scared me. You know, the guy was that powerful. And he said this in a prophetic word. He says, when a believer or a disciple studies and understands the human anatomy, the construction and operation of the human body, and apply it to the spiritual body, then there will be whole new understanding of what it means to be spiritual. Example, what does the blood of Jesus do? It what? Cleanses. It heals. keeps life. If you lose your blood, you lose your life. Okay? I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, but what does your blood in your body do? Exactly the same thing. So maybe if we start understanding what God created, then we'll start understanding applying it to the body. You all right? If I have purpose in my life and I go to a church who has no purpose, I'm not saying that's the case here. I'm just walking me now. I'm talking body of Christ. If I go to a church that has no purpose, then my due duty is of a person of purpose is to go find a church that does have purpose. Come on, that's the mindset out there. I hear a voice saying to me inside, oh, you have purpose. And I sent you to that place that has no purpose because I have sent you there to bring purpose, to bring life. Oh, they won't listen to me. They don't like me. When has that stopped us? All right, Isaiah 40, 29. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases their strength. Gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases their strength. I know some of you are tired. Come on, let's get real. I've been around this thing for a long time. You're tired. You're tired of going, same old. Same church service, same people, same old. Come on, let's get real. I've been there. I'm still there in some cases. Spiritual apathy. But the Bible says that God gives us power if we're weak. So I'm not going to listen to my inner me in any more and saying, this place doesn't appreciate me, it doesn't love me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find a place that accepts me. Well, you've lost your purpose. Oftentimes when I was pastoring in Connecticut, the type of church we had, we had a great church, still do, but when I was pastoring. And I often was asked by people as we traveled around the country, you could go down south and you could build a huge church. Why don't you go? You know it would work. And I do know it would work. I know what we were made of. But you know what my answer was? Because God said, this is my field. I'd be asked that. I don't know. If I had a dime, I'd be a rich man. Of course, I'm a rich man anyways, but now I'd be a rich man. Do you understand what I'm saying? They would ask me, why are you here? Why are we in New England? Why don't we just go somewhere where somebody loves Jesus? Because God said, end of subject. How many of us have a God said, and we're walking away from the words of purpose? A river is always moving. When the river stops moving, it ceases to be a river. Meaning it lost its purpose. If a river doesn't flow, it's lost its purpose. It then becomes standing water. It starts to dry up, apathy, and loses its form. And life causing everything that depended. And was a river to die. Rivers are always moving. Oftentimes in the move of God, isn't it exciting? Because you can't put your foot in the same river. If you have a move of God, I put my foot in that river, and 3 minutes later, 3 seconds later, I put my foot, it's a different river. Why? Because the water I touched there has already moved on. That's how God is. I know some of us are tired. I understand that. But God's saying, will you let me refresh you? Will you let me empower you? Will you let me in again? Will you stop shutting me out? Because the Lord said to me, he says, son, my church has walked away from the power. I go to churches, wonderful church services, no power. Not here. I love it coming here. During church services, you have it. What do you have at home? Do you still have the same power that caused you to be slain in the spirit? At home? At work? Pressing toward the mark. I'll read this and then I have a couple questions. I'm going to take it. 12 o'clock, right? Have lunch? Philippians, you all know this scripture. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid a hold of me. What's that called? Give me that one word. Purpose. Why did Christ lay a hold of me? To fulfill my God-given purpose. The calling in our life. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting, come on now, those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Churches have got to stop looking behind in the rearview mirror. Or what was? Or all the people we used to have. What you got now is what God's given you. I had a prophet one time says, all that you need, God has put in your hand. You just got to believe. Verse 14, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward reason I'm here. The upper purpose I'm here. I'm going for that. That's what I'm working for. Therefore, this is a nasty word, but hang on there. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, that if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degrees that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Look at what you've attained. 27 years, something like that. Anyways, a lot of time. This place has done wonderful things. Don't throw it out. Build on it. Don't like what it used to be. Well, it used to be good and everything's gone. No, no. Build on what God has done. Ask God. So I have a couple questions for you. They're loaded questions before lunch, and then I'll close out for lunch. So God wants us to press on, so I have some loaded questions for us. Are you ready? How many of you here in this room can articulate the purpose of this church? You don't have to do it now. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. How many of you can articulate the original intent that God put this church together? Not very many. And that's not, I'm not trying to shame you. And prophets have you can. Amen. It's on the wall.
A special service 2 months ago, everybody knows where me up in the middle of the night. God then kept me up all night.